Thanks again for listening, and join us in building up the kingdom by sharing Pod Apostle with a friend. So I still don't want anybody yelling out the answer, but I can ask you again, and you'll be a little more confident this time. Even if you were really confident last time, what is the greatest commandment? You know, and the wrong answer this morning was we have to love each other. Now that's true, but it's not the greatest commandment. The greatest commandment is that we have to love God first, and then we know how to love one another. It is only through the lens of the love of God that we are transformed to understand what love is. To love God. They asked him, "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment?" And he said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. This is the greatest commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." And then he talks about the law and the prophets. And what does he mean when he says the law and the prophets depend on this? Well, what he means then is the Old Testament, the whole Bible. Remember, it wasn't the Old Testament till we got a New Testament. They didn't call it the Old Testament. What did they call it? They called it the Law and the Prophets. And so Jesus sums up the entire Old Testament with one command, actually two commands, to love God with all of your heart, soul, and mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Now, to love God, in order for us to love God, we have to be loved by God first. In order for you or for me to respond to God in love, first we have to be convinced, we have to be convicted of, we have to believe in our heart that God loves us. See, we're not capable of loving God without God loving us first. Now, so I ask you, does God love you? Are you convicted of that? Are you convinced of that? Do you believe that God loves you? Now, this is a very difficult thing for many people for a variety of reasons that feel themselves cut off from God's love by something that they've done or something that maybe they've missed out on their life. I'm not sure. Many different reasons. But we have to come to this real reality, this objective truth that God loves us. Beloved, dearly beloved, let us love one another because love is of God. Everyone who loves is begotten by God and knows God. Whoever is without love does not know God. For God is love. In this way, the love of God was revealed to us. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might have life through him. In this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that God has loved us and sent his Son to us as an expiation for our sins. Beloved, if God has so loved us, we must love one another. 1 John chapter 4. That's a quote from the Bible. I didn't make that up. It'd be pretty good if I could make stuff like that up, though. God sent his Son as an expiation for our sins, to take away our sins. And in this is God's love. A few years ago, and I've told this story before in different times and places, so forgive me if you've heard it, but nonetheless, hear it again. A few years ago, I invited a priest to my parish at Sacred Heart in Dedo. And he came and gave a parish mission. And throughout the parish mission, he would stop what he was doing on a number of different occasions. And he would just say to the congregation, as I'm fixing to say to you, he would say, just let God love you right now. Just lower your defenses and let God love you. Just imagine that the Sacred Heart of Jesus here in the tabernacle and the love of God is flowing out of that tabernacle, because it is. And the grace of God's love is flowing here through this church, and it's washing over you. And let Him love you. Turn off the noise. Open your heart and your mind. And let God love you. Breathe it in. You see, for us to love God, we have to let Him love us first. We have to know His love for us. I read a story a few years ago about a man who was a prisoner of war. You can imagine the circumstances of being a prisoner of war. An awful, horrible cell, small and cramped and dirty. Oftentimes spending time in solitary confinement alone for weeks, months, for years. Locked away. This man, a prisoner of war, but he had one benefit, one privilege that he was given. He was allowed to keep his wedding ring. And he would take his ring out and he would look at it. And it would have been so long since he'd seen his wife, so long since he heard her voice, so long since he had felt her touch. She began to become like a figment of his imagination, like he was forgetting if she's real. Is she even real? Since he had touched her, felt her, smelt her, is she even real? And he would look at his ring and he would remember her. He would remember her love for him and his love for her. And it would come back to him and he would cling to this. Do we have anything like that in our church? Do we have anything that God has given to us as a sign, a symbol of his love for us that we are to cling to? It is not an uncommon thing at all. It is a very frequent thing for me in the sacrament of reconciliation to ask the penitent to come out and meditate on the crucifix. And when I ask them to meditate on the crucifix, I'm not asking them to meditate on the history of the Roman Empire and how they put down insurrections. I'm not asking them to meditate on capital punishment or torture. When I ask them to meditate on the crucifix, I'm asking them to meditate on the symbol of God's love for them. I could just as well ask them to meditate on the Holy Eucharist, couldn't I? Couldn't I? This is my body given up for you. This is my blood poured out for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Do this to remember me. Do this to bring me back to you. What is the first and the greatest commandment in the gospel, in the whole of the Old and the New Testament, in all of Revelation? What is the first and the greatest commandment? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. But I say to you, you won't be capable of loving God unless you know he loves you. So let him love you. Let him. Open your heart and your mind. Sit before the crucifix. I think about Father Abram Dono's mission. I think about those words that he said, right now, stop. It's like he would do this in the middle of his sermon. Stop, okay. Let him love you. Let it wash over you. Open your heart. Here he is. He's here with us. It's flowing out. From time to time when I'm in the Adoration Chapel, I should spend more time over there. But when I'm in there from time to time, I'll think to myself, okay, here I am, Jesus, love me. Here I am, change me. See, that's what he said too, Father Abram told us. And God will change you. See, God will change you. God's love will change you. It will make you a lover of God. It will make you a lover of yourself. It will make you capable of knowing how to love yourself and to love your spouse and to love your neighbor. Let him love you. What is the first and the greatest commandment? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, all of these things. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. You know, being a Christian is not the result of some ethical choice. It's not an idea. It's not a philosophy. Being a Christian is an encounter with the truth, with the way, with life, with goodness itself. Being a Christian opens our eyes to a new horizon, gives our life a direction. St. John's Gospel describes it in this way. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should have eternal life. And this is life, that God gave his Son for our sins, for your sins. So today, my brothers and sisters, we take seriously this command, this summary of all of the law and the prophets. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Let God love you, that you may be changed to love him and to love your neighbor.